the Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Patty Grasher, where we connect readers with the authors, organizations, and ideas shaping our literary community, especially those you'll meet at the Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest. Today, I'm joined by Anna Paul and Brooke Trang of Read Northwest, a nonprofit right here in Clark County that's making a powerful difference in early childhood literacy through one-on-one mentoring, community partnerships, and family-focused programs. Read Northwest is helping young readers build confidence and reach grade-level success, one child at a time. So if you've ever wondered how you could make a real impact in a child's life through reading, you're going to love this conversation. So welcome Anna and Brooke to the program.
Thank you. We are excited to be here. I'm Brooke Trang, and I'm the Acting Executive Director, which means I volunteer for this position. As a board member in the past, I was a reading mentor and a donor. I understood that the inner workings of the program. So I decided that we wanted every dollar to be given back to the program. And so I volunteered for this position so that we could start every school in the program that wanted to be a part of it.
Thank you, Patty. I'm Anna Paul. I'm the Director of Operations, and I didn't always used to be in this role. I actually was the very first program coordinator for the organization, and I've been there since the beginning. We pretty much started in March of 2022, and very first program coordinator, and now there are 9 program coordinators total. So We've grown quite a bit, but thanks again for having us, Patty.
Oh, I'm glad to have you both here. So let's talk about what inspired you guys to do this.
Jerry Romano and Rich Barocious learned, they're our founders, and they learned from a good friend of theirs, a film producer, his name is Jeff Martin, about the literacy crisis in America. But they knew from experience that they wanted to focus on their own community right here in Clark County. And so Read Northwest was created out of like the growing awareness that too many children were falling behind in reading before they ever had a real chance to succeed. What we were seeing wasn't just an education issue, it was a community issue. So we knew that when a child struggles to read by third grade, it impacts everything from their confidence to their long-term opportunities. So we decided to come alongside the child and the schools. The inspiration came from a desire to be proactive rather than reactive, you know, to step in early, surround kids with support, come alongside them, read with them, and change the trajectory of their lives before the gaps became permanent.
So what does it look like now from the time that you began to where we're at today?
I could definitely answer that one. So we, again, just to caveat off of that, we started in March of 2022. So this was right on the tail end of COVID. And I remember when we first started our volunteers, we were still wearing masks. And it took until March of 2022 for the schools to actually let volunteers back in. And that's why we consider ourselves, that's when we were born in March of 2022. And we started off with 2 pilot schools. Those schools were Hathaway Elementary out in Washougal and Sacagawea Elementary, which is up in Hazeldell, and that's part of the Vancouver School District. And we started with 14 volunteers each in both those locations. So basically 2 locations, 28 volunteers, and now we've grown to 25 locations and over 300 volunteers, and we continue to grow from there.
So that's impressive. That is fast growth as well. So tell us just a bit about what a typical reading mentor session looks like.
Oh, okay. I can also answer that one. So a typical reading session is, well, again, locations are vary from school to school, but typically the volunteer reading mentor will go pick up their student from class and bring them to the reading space. Some spaces are either out in the hallway or a public space. Some locations have their own school or classrooms. They will bring them in. They'll pick out books that they want to read based off of their grade level. And they read for a minimum of 15 minutes before they can transition into literacy games that we have provided. A whole variety of different literacy games that we have. And, you know, we've seen that a lot of students learn best through playing games. So we have that as an option.
So how do you get your students? Do they volunteer? Do the teachers recommend them? How do you get your students?
The students are typically chosen by the teachers, and our program coordinators will reach out to the teachers that are involved. So we have we're involved with first through third grade primarily. And the locations that we're at, each program coordinator is responsible for certain locations, and they coordinate everything. So at the beginning of the year, we'll usually start a new cohort of first grade students, and those students are chosen by those first grade teachers. And we have a whole, we have like a program candidate form that has different criteria on there. And it could be, you know, one specific reason, or it could be multiple reasons why the teacher might choose them. But it could be they may need just in their basic skills, or if they can improve their fluency or comprehension, or even if they are new to the school and are unfamiliar with a lot of things and they need a way to be more welcomed into the school. So, yes, our teachers typically will choose those students for the program.
Okay, and then for somebody who is listening, perhaps, and they want to become a reading mentor, what's that process, and what are you looking for?
Okay, on our website, we have a way that you can apply online. Once we receive your application, our program coordinators will... We typically decide who gets who, and it's based off of that potential volunteer's choice in location. So they'll pick like first, second, and third choices. We typically start with their first choice. So if, for example, if they choose Columbia Valley Elementary, which is in part of Evergreen School District, the program coordinator that is in charge of Columbia Valley will be the one that sort of claims that volunteer, and they will reach out to that person and get them going with orientations and matching up, and it just kind of goes from there. So
I think that's very interesting. I think the volunteers, of course, are very much needed to make this program work. So what's in it for the volunteer? How, I mean, of course they feel great mm-hmm. helping a child, but, you know, it's a time commitment and all that kind of thing. And how do they feel helping these kids?
Well, more often than not, the reward for the volunteer reading mentor is just as much of a great feeling for them as it is for the student that they are helping. I even have a whole story from a volunteer that's kind of a heartfelt story. But most of them, you know, even though it's 30 minutes once a week, they're always wanting more. The students are always wanting more. It's just that, you know, the constraints of school schedules and, you know, pulling students from class, the 30 minutes once a week, it seems to be what is doable. But I think if volunteers and students had their choice, they would probably meet multiple days of the week. just because they have so much fun, you know, making those connections. They can sit down and pause and actually discuss what they're reading. And, you know, it's those moments where if a light bulb goes off in a child, that volunteer can see that and know that they contributed to that. And so I think it's the benefits are reciprocal for both parties.
I would say that many volunteers say it becomes the most meaningful part of their week. Absolutely.
And you're listening to Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9. I've been talking with Brooke Trang and Anna Paul of Northwest Read. When we come back, we're going to hear an amazing story of how the effect of Northwest Read has on one single child. It's a great story. So stay with us and we'll be right back.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in the Uptown Village neighborhood. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
Furry Friends is a Vancouver, Washington 501c3 nonprofit, volunteer-run, no-kill cat rescue and adoption organization. If you would like to help save cats and kittens in the Vancouver-Portland area, there is a need for finances, goods, cat foster parents, volunteers, and adopters. Please visit their website for wish lists and other ways you can help at furryfriendswa.org. That's furryfriendswa.org.
Okay, and we are back, and I'm continuing my conversation with Anna Paul and Brooke Trang of Read Northwest. Okay, so you mentioned earlier that you had a story that maybe you could share with us.
Oh, I guess it depends on how much time we have. we actually sent this out a while back in a special announcement that we do and we distribute, but This was a story that was written by my mom, who has volunteered since the beginning, and she has already gone through, I think, four reading buddies. She's seen a couple of them graduate. She volunteers at two different locations. Yeah, one day I had asked her to just kind of write up a story about her buddy that she has over at Hathaway. And I can read through this. The name has been changed just for privacy reasons, but is it okay if I go ahead and read the story?
Sure.
Okay. And this is from a volunteer reading mentor, my mom. Her name is Andrea Spear. Her buddy is at Hathaway. Privacy purposes, we're going to call him Mason. So Mason is a miracle child. He has grown from a traumatized six-year-old who barely knew a few two-letter words into a third grader reading at grade level. Watching his transformation has been one of the greatest gifts of my life. When I first met Mason, he was sad, restless, and resistant to anything involving books. He wandered around, threw Play-Doh, tried to distract other students, and begged to return to his classroom whenever I suggested we read. I later learned that he had recently been placed with his grandparents because his parents were homeless. Knowing this, I followed his lead into our sessions, letting him release his anxiety and build trust at his own pace, even as I quietly questioned whether I was the right mentor for him. Mason came back the next week. We didn't touch a book. Instead, we talked about playing with his cousins and looked up pictures of snakes, his favorite. We played tic-tac-toe. Slowly, these small moments opened a door. The next week, he wanted more games. I introduced Hangman, letting him pick the words. His first choice was snake. Then he asked how to spell mom. Seeing that word clearly stirred sadness, and my heart ached for him. But through these games, he started recognizing letters, then words, then patterns. Bit by bit, the wall he'd built around reading began to lower. Progress wasn't always steady. A mid-year teacher change upset Mason, and his behavior became more impulsive. Still, we pushed through with word games, pop sight words, and short books about snakes. He would follow along while I read, even if he didn't yet have the confidence to read aloud himself. Summer came and we said goodbye. I gave Mason snake activity books, though he declined a small Lego reptile because his grandmother wouldn't approve. I hoped he'd return in the fall. Mason did, beaming when he saw me. Soon he was reading to me for 15 minutes before we played games. We worked our way through Mo Willems' books and other early readers. He began receiving help from a reading specialist as well, and his confidence soared. By the end of second grade, he was reading at the mid-second grade level, and his interests had bloomed to include soccer and Minecraft. We were disappointed to part for the summer again, but hopeful for the third grade. This October, Mason and I reunited. His progress amazed me. He is now reading right at grade level. We've been working through a Minecraft chapter book, which he eagerly reads on his own each week. He even took it home when he finished it, something unimaginable when we first met. Sometimes I think back at that anxious little boy who couldn't bear to look at a book. Now Mason reads with joy, pride, and curiosity. His determination and the steady support of me and his reading specialist carried him so far. I simply offered consistency, patience, and a love of reading that he could share. Seeing Mason discover that same love has been a blessing for us both.
Well, that's beautiful. And I think that really brings it home what a difference this mentoring program can do. So let's switch a little bit because we know it takes the student, we know it takes the mentors, but what about making it all work by, you know, through financial backing and community partnerships? And so we'll switch to Brooke for this.
Yes. Yeah. So what were we seeing wasn't just an education issue. We understood that it was a community partnership that we needed, because when a child struggles to read by third grade, it impacts everything, you know, from their confidence to their long-term opportunities. So the inspiration came from a desire to be proactive rather than reactive. I created what was called the Clark County Community Literacy Project, so that we could step in early and surround kids with support and change kind of the trajectory of their lives with community partners. Because when we talk about literacy, we're not just talking about reading scores, right? We're talking about what Clark County also looks like 5, 10, 15 years from now. You know, we understand that literacy directly affects graduation rates, workforce readiness, confidence, mental health, long-term outcomes, all of that kind of stuff. So we understood that the schools couldn't and shouldn't carry it alone, that it's not just a community issue. So our partnerships, which are really, really fun partnerships, they're a huge part of the impact that we're working in the community. We're collaborating with organizations like the Vancouver Symphony, Dozer Days, police officers, the fire departments, to bring the fun factor to the students, like super fun, interactive stuff. What we're trying to do is we're trying to bring literacy to life through in unique ways in our community. So they, because right now, unfortunately, a lot of kids are on phones and technology, and we want to show them that right here in their community, they have all these fun experiences too. One of our partnerships is the Literacy and Arts Experience. So it's with the VSO, and we partner with the Vancouver Symphony, and we bring music and literacy together in a unique way. It's a 4 to 6 week, students participate in a themed reading, Anna found an amazing book called Wild Symphony by Dan Brown. So she chose this book. And then I implemented it so that the kids would read it in the entire school. So we're talking all the kids in the school, so that we could bring that book to life and with an assembly performance by an organization called the Rose City Quartet. It's sponsored by the Vancouver Symphony and us, and the whole school gets to have a concert assembly at their school, because this program helps students connect stories to music while also showing them, you know, the world-class like art experience, that it's accessible right here in our community, not somewhere on a phone, somewhere far away, but right here in Vancouver. It also includes an opportunity for the students and families to actually attend a Vancouver Symphony concert. And they donate the tickets so that the kids can go to the concerts for free. And then we also have Dozer Days, Paves the Way experience. This program blends the literacy with more hands-on, like the real-world experience. So myself and our program coordinators in all of our schools, we read to all the first-grade students during story time. We do a story time, and we read the book. It's called Dozer Day Paves the Way, which was written by Sammy Nutter. The Nutter Foundation is who started Dozer Days. And so their daughter wrote this book. And so we get to read this book. And in the book, it literally says, Dozer Days in Vancouver, Washington. And you have, in the audience, you have a little kid go, hey, I'm from Vancouver. Like, it's so fun and engaging. And it's just, and they're like, wait, that's right here? And then when we're done reading the book, they get a surprise visit from Dozer Dan, the mascot. He comes in and they all get all excited and they're cheering. And then it's really special. We created this bookmark. The Nutter Foundation and us created this bookmark, and there's a QR code on it. And the kids find out that QR code, that they get 5 free tickets to Dozer Days, so that their entire family gets to go for free. So the Nutter Foundation, you know, came alongside us too. And this happens, Dozer Days happens like mid-September. We start doing this all the way into October. And it's just another incredible opportunity to connect reading, you know, with the excitement and exploration and family engagement. That's a whole nother part of it, you know. It brings the students, they get to drive tractors, operate machines. So this portion of our Clark County Community Literacy Project alone has already touched over 3,000 participants alone, just through those programs.
So that's pretty amazing. It's fun how that it grows and it builds excitement on all sides, you know, as the volunteers, the supporters, and, you know, of course, yourselves. So what other special programs do you have?
We have programs like Bites and Books, and we also have the Love and Literacy Boxes, which are designed to extend literacy beyond the classroom and into the homes, is our approach with it. So Bites and Books, this is one of our signature literacy events, and we're carrying on the legacy of Mark Mathias and Ali Novinger. They are the owners of Beaches, created it, and when they retired, they allowed us to take it on and keep it going. It's a school-based breakfast experience, so it's for all first graders and their parents, so or guardians, and it's designed to encourage reading at home is what it's really about. And so students and families come together at school and they share a meal. They receive like fun stuff like sunglasses and Lays, and of course the most important part, get a book to take home and read with their parents. But it's really special because, you know, the principals are there, the teachers are there, the volunteers are there, our program coordinators everyone's coming alongside. And what we're trying to do is encourage reading at home, because we're finding that what's happening is parents aren't reading with kids at home as much anymore. So we're trying to encourage that. We created a bookmark with literacy tools for parents. It has QR codes going to fun like YouTube pages. And it has fun reading ideas for them because we want to celebrate reading like as a fun, social, and family-centered activity again, bringing it home also because it's a, you know, it's just a powerful way to set the tone for a lifelong, for kids, you know, that lifelong love of literacy is, they have their amazing reading mentor, but then to have it at home with their parent. And so in 6 days, so this is literally just 6 days, we serve and connect with over 7,500 students and parents in Clark County. So it's a super exciting. And then, of course, we started this year, it's called the Love and Literacy Boxes, and it's focused during winter break. And how this came about is because I had thought about maybe adopting a family. And I went to the Vancouver School District to Stacey Bolke. She's an FCRC for the Vancouver School District. And when I asked her, she explained that when she asked kids how their break was, they responded, "Well, it's great to be back, so I have food to eat." And I was, oh, my heart just was like, okay, well, we can do something about this. Let's figure out how to put the two together. And so I immediately asked her, you know, do you have a food list for like a family for 2 weeks? What does that look like? Do you have something that you have put together? And this is where the Love and Literacy Boxes were imagined. So I went to the board, the Read Northwest board, and said, hey, I have this idea. So we wanted to bring joy, connection, and literacy into the home, like in this 2 week time. So each box is designed to nourish, you know, their tummies, which is super important, their hearts and their minds, you know, giving the families this meaningful, fun opportunity to spend time together to encourage that. So inside the box, there's nutritious, easy to make meals that can help them feed the family of five for up to 2 weeks. And along with books to read and enjoy together. Anna ordered a bunch of books. A bunch of us went shopping, got all the food. We ordered games for them, activities, coloring books, ingredients to make cookies together. So, and different like creative supplies to spark imagination and all of that. So it's just super wonderful that we can do things to encourage beyond the classroom. And that's both Bites and Books and the Love and Literacy Boxes. It helps it extend literacy beyond the classroom, empowering the families, you know, to build those lasting reading habits, but, you know, also creating, you know, special memories together and fun stuff like that. So that's what we are doing outside of the classroom.
So I'm just blown away. I think this is an amazing, amazing program. Thank you both, Anna and Brooke, for being on the program, for sharing about Read Northwest, which is simply amazing. And just thanks for being here.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you so much. Yes, Patty.
And I've been talking with Anna Paul and Brooke Trang of Read Northwest. To learn more about and get involved with, visit readnorthwest.org. That's readnw.org. And don't forget, you can meet organizations like Read Northwest and many more at the Northwest Book Fair and Media Fest happening June 27th at Clark College. I'm Patty Grasher. This is Northwest Book Talk on KXRW 99.9 FM.